Okay. This is Sunday morning, the 27th of January, 2019. I'll just make this a prophet's corner. It's called Not By Might. This is Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Might there means human capacity or bodily strength. All right, Acts 7, this goes along with the former teaching, talking about Moses here. It says in verse 20, at this juncture, Moses was born, was exceedingly beautiful in God's sight. For 3 months he was nurtured in his father's house. Then when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh rescued him and took him and reared him as her own son. So Moses was educated in all the wisdom and culture of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his speech and deeds. And when he was in his 40th year, it came into his heart to visit his kinsmen, the children of Israel. And on seeing one of them being unjustly treated, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian and slaying him. He expected his brethren to understand that God was granting them deliverance by his hand, but they did not understand. Then on the next day, he appeared to some who were quarreling and fighting among themselves, and he urged them to make peace and become reconciled, saying, "Men, you are brethren, why do you abuse and wrong one another?" Whereupon the man who was abusing his neighbor pushed Moses aside, saying, "Who appointed you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you intend to slay me as you slew the Egyptian yesterday?" At that reply, Moses sought safety by flight, and he was an exile and an alien in the country of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And when 40 years had gone by, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel in the flame of a burning bramble bush. So Moses, in his might, he had the call of God, but he did not have the humbling, the molding into the vessel that God could use. Now, we read before in the teaching that he was weak. He stuttered, and he gave God excuses why he didn't want to go in and do it. But that's what the point of all of this is God is, he needs a weak vessel. He doesn't need somebody that's strong and mighty in themselves. Why? Because he won't give his glory to anyone else. He wants someone that he can work through and know they'll give God glory. See, God, Moses was to the place that he knew, I'm not mighty in myself anymore. I don't have my youth. All the things that make a person strong in the world that we look to as strength, youth. He didn't have it anymore. God performs his miracles through weakness of human flesh. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards, not many influential and powerful, not many of high and noble birth. No, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. I'll fast forward. I said, "Lord, why didn't you use me back in my 40s? He said, "Well, you can't teach longevity when you're 40 or age, you know, youth renewal." And God also selected, deliberately chose what in the world is low-born and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might depose and bring to nothing the things that are, so that no mortal man should have pretense for glory and boast in the presence of God. So he's telling us here that he wants people that his glory can shine through. See, when you're all that and you think you're all that, how can God get the glory? He can't. But when you know, like Moses, I can't even talk. I'm just weak, Lord. I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, there's just times I used to feel so strong and assured." And I said, I feel so weak sometimes. And he said, I'm finally getting you to where I can use you. Now, I understand this. I don't mean sick. Okay. Moses was weak. That was Exodus 3 and 4. Paul was weak. This is 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. True, there's nothing to be gained by it but to boast. I will go into visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise, and he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words what man is not permitted to utter. Of this same man's experiences, I will boast, but of myself personally, I will not boast, except as regards my infirmities, my weaknesses. Should I desire to boast, I should not be a witless braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth, but I abstain from it, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me. It's justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, the preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is enough for you, for my strength and power are made perfect and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So, for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. So it's like you're trading natural human strength to divine strength. You're not depending on yourself, but you're depending on God and His strength. Joel says, wake up the mighty men. Let the weak say, I am strong. See, the mighty men, they're strong in the Lord. See, when David's mighty men came, this is 1 Samuel 22. What did it say about them? They were in distress, in debt. They were in despair. They were weak, but they became mighty men. And we see, you know, when you read about the exploits that they did, they were supernatural. David said, by thee I can run through a troop, by thee I can leap over a wall. A troop is a garrison of soldiers. Okay, 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice so that when His glory is revealed, you may rejoice with triumph. You're suffering in your flesh when you walk in the Spirit and obey God. So you shouldn't think it strange, Peter said, because you're going against the grain. The flesh wants to do all the wrong things and go its own way, but the Spirit must be in control. Galatians 5 talks about the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh can be bratty, always whining. Moses had to trust God. And we have to trust God. It was not in the strength of Moses, but in the Spirit of God's power. God is looking for those who will trust Him, have gotten over the whining, have endured the suffering, and will obey God. Okay, I believe that's it. All right.